This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, April 16, 2017, Easter Sunday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Seek the things that are above, where Christ is. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Seek the things that are above where Christ is. Sounds very churchy. Sounds very ethereal and abstract. But it is very, very practical. We are supposed to seek the things that are above where Christ is. We are supposed to reorient ourselves in this world. Generally, on Easter, we come together and we speak of our Lord Jesus Christ's resurrection. But if our Lord Jesus Christ is risen, and he is risen indeed, we have to understand that we, in union with him, are also risen. There were witnesses to his resurrection. Always kind of befuddles me how people like to read history books, and they'll read things that were in history 2,000, 3,000 years ago, and there's no shred of doubt in their mind because it's in a history book. Of course, it's true. It's written in there. But they'll deny the scriptures. The scriptures that might be newer. We don't know of any witnesses to any of these things written in history books aside from the one who wrote it. And we know from scripture that there were hundreds of witnesses at times to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we have to think about it, and we cannot lose sight of the fact of the practicality of the resurrection. And that practicality is that it is manifest in us. We are this day witnesses to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, just as were the witnesses of so long ago. And just like them, we have to witness practically. Don't shut down because I talk about witnessing and about, well, I just don't do stuff like that. I don't talk about my faith. I'm not asking you to talk about it. I'm talking to you about living it. Live your faith. Truly make the Lord just that, the Lord. And you present it practically. You should manifest it in your lives. Even in the Bible, St. Peter, in that first reading today, he's talking to a bunch of Gentiles. Peter does not start talking about what the scriptures say about God. He doesn't start quoting prophets because, guess what? These people don't understand one word about the scriptures. The prophets are meaningless to them. So what does Peter do? He just talks about our Lord Jesus Christ and how God raised him from the dead, and how that they are witnesses of this. This is true because we saw it. I'm not just telling you a story. I saw it. Well, people are the same in our day and age. They don't know the scriptures. They don't know saints. They don't know what a pope's encyclical says. They need to learn from practical experience, watching you live a Catholic life. I said we're witnesses. The first we have to do to make sure that we're doing this correctly is to be witnesses to ourselves. We have to ensure that, as it says about our baptisms, that we were buried with Christ in his death, and that's all the negative part that we heard about in Lent and in Passiontide, that the sufferings of this life that are truly real, they are the objective way in which we relate to our Lord Jesus Christ. There is a positive aspect, and that is the resurrection. Because just as we in our baptisms were buried with Christ into his death, we are raised to newness of life in Christ. Not after you die, now, right now. You are witnesses to the resurrection, but you got to get it in your own head that you have been resurrected with Christ. And the way you do that, and it is, and there are objective criteria, be a little introspective. In this life, we love life. We try to live our lives as best we can to make them as comfortable as humanly possible. In this world, we like when people honor us. And that is not necessarily sinful, as long as you orient it properly, because we should do good at what we do, no matter what it may be, whether you're a student, a brain surgeon, dig ditches, whatever. You should do it well as a witness to Christ. You should want people to think what you do well. We like that. We like to be honored. And like I said, it's not necessarily sinful, as long as it's in perspective. We love our time alone. We like our times away from toil. We like repose, vacations. We like things like that. And there's another thing we like, and that's stuff. And contrary to what you will hear constantly anymore, riches are not the problem per se. Money is not the root of all evil. Love of money is the root of all evil. You can have a bunch of money, a boatload of money, and you can be a saint as long as you do well with what you have. We love those things in this world. Life, honor, repose, riches. We need to reorient, and this is where you start being introspective. How much attention do you pay on those things I just described? It must be at least equal, if not more so, oriented toward those things in an eternal perspective. We all like a good life here, and we should. But guess what? Hate to be the big wet blanket on Easter, but your life is going to end. All right? That's all there is to it. Life's going to end. Can't help it, should the Lord tarry. So ought we not be being at least equally attentive to the life that is going to go on for all eternity, as opposed to all the emphasis that we will focus on the life in this world that is going to end? We very seldom get up here and say anything definitively, and this is going to happen. Yeah, your life is going to end. So I would suggest reorient yourself. Pay at least as much attention to life everlasting. The honors that we have in this world. As I said, not inherently sinful. We like when people think what we do, that we do well. That's a good thing, because we're honoring Christ by doing that. We're good witnesses. But would we not rather have the honor of our Lord Jesus Christ? Would we not like to get to the judgment seat of Christ and hear those words, "Welcome to the place I have prepared for you. Well done, good and faithful servant"? We need to orient ourselves toward that eternal perspective as opposed to wanting pats on the back in this world. Repose, vacations. You know, we can look at the brochures of all the Alaska cruises and how beautiful it is up there, or wherever you might want to go. Guess what happens on vacations in this world? I'm a glass half empty guy. Every time I go on a vacation, like the first day I'm there, I'm like, oh, I got to go home in 2 weeks. You know, we're talking about repose that will last for all eternity. You can look at your Alaska cruise brochure, and guess what? Eye hath not seen, nor has ear heard, nor has mind conceived the glories that await you in heaven. As opposed to, and it's not wrong to save up for a good enough nice vacation here, but equally you ought to be saving up, I would even say more so, saving up for that eternal vacation from which we will never have to come home, because we will be home, and riches. Not inherently sinful. It's got to do with them the right thing. But you could lose all your stuff in this world while you're still here. As I said before, you're going to leave and you're not taking one thing with you. We all know that when it sounds so cliche, but it is so true. How much do we break our backs to get stuff in this world, and we show up here on Sunday mornings, and that suffices for the riches of eternity? I'm just saying. It's a reorientation. We need to mind the things that are above, not things on the earth. Well, I don't know if I have that orientation or not. Do you hunger for the things? Do you want to be here? Or is it Easter and somebody invited me? Are you here grudgingly? You know, I don't want to show hands for a heart wander. If you truly mind the things above, you should hunger for the things of God. In our physical bodies, you know, if you've had kids or if you're around kids, the first way that you can tell that a kid is not starting to feel well, you know, something's coming down the pike. Hey, it's time for supper. I'm not hungry. Oh, you know, you're in for it. They eat constantly, and all of a sudden they're not hungry. Something's going to go on. The same thing applies spiritually. If you don't hunger for the things of God, for His means of grace, for the sacraments, if you're here grudgingly, oh gosh, not again. If you don't hunger for this, if you don't hunger for His word, if you don't hunger for prayer, you gotta start being attentive. You need to start working on the orientation. Because just like physical maladies keep us from eating in this world, what do? We go to the doctor. We take medicine. The same thing spiritually. That's what we ought to do. We need to be healthy spiritually. And an indication if you are is if you are hungry for the things of God. Not the things necessarily the earth. Like I said, they're not bad, but we should orient ourselves to the things of God being more important in our lives. And you're not sick for 3 or 4 days with a stomach bug and all of a sudden want to go and eat a Golden Corral all day. You start out slow. Chicken soup, little crackers, and then it kind of works itself up. That's the most common way that our faith works. You get a little bit better, you start eating the chicken soup, and then you want more. That indicates spiritual health. The chicken soup thing, yeah, chicken soup's great and everything, but I doubt if there's anybody in here that wants to eat it day after day after day. All right? Spiritually, it should be the same thing. Sunday morning shouldn't be it. If you're doing what you should in here, it should become more and more hungry for the spiritual life, because that shows the new spiritual life of being resurrected in Christ. We are witnesses to Him. We are witnesses to this world, and we have to be bold about it. That, for instance, the one who was crucified and rose again was not a great prophet. He was not a good teacher. He was not a really good person who was an example for society. No, this first reading today from the scripture said, you know the word which was sent to you, preaching good news of peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. The one who was killed and rose again was God. Everything is and will be in subjection to Him. To put anything above Him is sacrilege, blasphemy. Jesus Christ is the Lord of all, and He is the exclusive way to heaven. And that is what you should be strengthened to present to your friends. We believe in the Trinity, something that the human mind cannot grasp nor comprehend. It's not supposed to. That's why God presented Himself that way. It's like, here, you're not going to get me, ever. You're not going to understand how three can be one and one three. But we know that the Trinity is integral to our salvation. We read, for instance, in that first reading, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost. How God, the Father, anointed Jesus, the Son, with the Holy Ghost. The Trinity involved in the resurrection, hence involved in our salvation. We are witnesses to these hard truths. They cannot be explained. You can explain some of them, but not all of them. You're not supposed to be able. You're supposed to present a triune God who is the only way to salvation, and that way to salvation is Jesus Christ and Him alone through His Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. And if anyone is not a member of that church, you need to start working on them. That is being a witness. That is what we are called to do. We do not witness by words. We witness by our life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.